So we've got a little bit of a difference. Roger's going to do the Bible reading in Spanish. It's going to come up on the screen in English. And if you've got a Bible with you, I'd encourage you to have it open in front of you. If you'd like one, put your hand up and the stewards will come and pass one to you. Can we have the, Ed, can we have the right PowerPoint on, please? Isaiah 58.
While we're waiting for that, oh, there we go. Yeah, battle ready. Just to some of the questions that were going to be asked a little earlier were about how long we've been doing this and whatever. And I think it's worth saying that the Lord has called us initially 40 years ago to Bolivia. We finally went to Bolivia 34 years ago, and the ministry will be celebrating 33 years this year. So it's been a long-term call. The Lord has been amazingly gracious in what he's done over the years, and we're going to talk about the spiritual battles that we have experienced. So you're going to see it in English. I'm going to read it in Spanish. From the Nueva Versión Internacional. Yeah. El ayuno que he escogido no es más bien romper las cadenas de injusticia y desatar las correas del yugo, poner en libertad a los oprimidos y romper toda atadura. ¿No es acaso el ayuno compartir el pan con el hambriento y dar refugio a los pobres sin techo, vestir al desnudo y no dar la espalda a los tuyos? Si así procedes, tu luz despuntará como la aurora y al instante llegará tu sanidad, tu justicia te abrirá el camino y la gloria del Señor te seguirá. Llamarás y el Señor responderá. Pedirás ayuda y él dirá, aquí estoy. Si desechas el yugo de opresión, el dedo acusador y la lengua maliciosa. Si te dedicas a ayudar a los hambrientos y a saciar la necesidad del desválido, entonces brillará tu luz en las tinieblas y como el mediodía será tu noche. El Señor te guiará siempre, te saciará en tierras resecas y fortalecerá tus huesos. Serás como jardín bien regado, como manantial cuyas aguas no se agotan. Tu pueblo reconstruirá las ruinas antiguas y levantará los cimientos de antaño. Serás llamado reparador de muros derruidos, restaurador de calles transitables.
Amen. Amen. Let's just pray for Roger before he comes to share. Just watch there's a bit of feedback, a bit of ringing. Is that because I'm too close to him? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that is a word for all nations, tribes, and languages. We thank you that it's a word of truth that speaks into our hearts, into our minds, and into our bodies. And so as Roger comes to share what you've put on his heart this morning, please will you, by your Holy Spirit, give us ears to listen and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's been an interesting week when we're talking about spiritual warfare and battles and struggles. It's been an interesting struggle of a week, to be quite honest. But one of the things that we've seen with time is that We need to be in prayer. One of the things, and prayer and fasting are two of the key spiritual weapons, I guess you could call them, that we need to be practicing. We talk about spiritual disciplines. I prefer good habits. Discipline tends to have a bit of a negative connotation, but we need to develop good habits of prayer and fasting. One of the things, as we've just read that scripture from Isaiah 58, 6 to 12, it talks about our calling. That's very much one of the scriptures that the Lord gave to us as a couple when we first went to Bolivia, about not just prayer and fasting, but also action as a result of that prayer and fasting. If you read the first part of Isaiah 58, it's a challenge to the people to say, well, you are fasting, but you don't change, you don't do anything. You sit in sackcloth and ashes, but that's all you do. You don't respond to what the Lord is requiring of you. And I think this second part of that chapter just really opens up how it is when we do learn how to pray and fast, and the promises that God gives us as we are faithful to put those disciplines into action. And I think we can see through the years that we've served in Bolivia and practiced these things, that we've seen the Lord move and do things. One of the things that we're sharing through our communications is Operation Restoration over the next 33 days, because of our 33rd anniversary, will be 33 miracles that we've seen God do over these years. And it's just amazing as we look back to see how He has done His work despite us, as I always say. The verse that you see up on the screen at the moment is one of the verses that has been a key verse for us for the whole of the time of the ministry. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's been our motivation. But we need to recognize, to start with, that we have an enemy. There was a quote I saw recently that said, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he didn't exist. And I think we live in a society today where many of us struggle to believe in the fact that the devil and the enemy is still around like a roaring lion waiting to devour us. And I think we need to acknowledge that he is and does exist and is looking to bring us down and looking to take away the life that God would have us have, the life of abundance, it says in some translations. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I was looking up just after I got here this morning. I'm never very, well, I'm prepared, but not. And I'm always open to what the Lord might want to share after I arrive. And it just laid on my heart some of the quotes of Smith Wigglesworth from back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. He said, great faith is the product of great fights. Talking about spiritual warfare, great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumphs can only come out of great trials. And I think we need to recognize how much we are in a battle to see God's restoration. In these young lives, in our particular ministry, we're talking about young lives. When we first went to Santa Cruz, I remember we first went out on the streets in 1991, didn't have any homes, didn't have anything that you've seen today. We were just trying to work out what we were supposed to be doing. And I remember talking to a young man, 15-year-old young man, on the streets in Los Pozos, in the park in the center of the city, who was sitting there on a wall with a glue bottle on his nose, sniffing glue, trying to forget his reality. His name was Sergio. And in my very broken Spanish at that time, wasn't very good, I kind of said to him, well, you know, if you continue sniffing glue, you'll probably die before you're 25. And his response was, good. He had no hope because nobody was fighting for him. He had no hope. Nobody was offering him anything. There was no hope. And that was reflected in his response. And I have to say that sadly, 2 years later, he died. He passed away as a very young man. But we need to recognize the battle that we're in for the young lives. Heidi, who we prayed for this morning, we've seen her in and out of the home 3 or 4 times now. A young mother, 13-year-old mum with an 18-month-old daughter. And we need to keep fighting for her, praying for her, reaching out to her. And it doesn't mean just praying and fasting. It doesn't mean just doing that. It means reaching out. It means being available. It means chatting to her on social media. If I get the opportunity for our staff to reach out, go visit her where she is. It means action too. So first of all, the prayer, it's prayer and fasting. I mean, very often I think the meat of this may be the fasting part, but prayer is so much an important part of what we need to be talking about today. And one of the things we need to acknowledge is the battle is the Lord's, it's not ours. I'm trying to remember which scriptures I did put that one up, didn't I? Joshua 5. 13 to 15. I'm not going to read all these because I'm very aware that time is probably a little short because I'm very long-winded, but that's me. You'll have to accept me as I am. But here we see Joshua coming close to Jericho when he's confronted by this person holding a sword, a drawn sword in his hand. And it says, he says to this man, are you for us or against us? And he says, neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And I think we need to recognize very often when we're in a crisis or a difficult thing, we're thinking, well, it's them or us, Lord. Is it us or is it going to be them? And there's a struggle. But very often the result is something completely different. The Lord has something else in mind. He's there to fight for us. We don't need to be doing it in our own strength. So we're called to action, but we need to be people of prayer. One of the verses I share very often with our staff is this prayer. This verse rather in 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. Another thing I picked up from Smith Wigglesworth this week was somebody asked him, how long do you pray? And he said, I never pray for more than 20 minutes. But he also said, I never go for 20 minutes without praying. And I think we get into a kind of rhythm of life as Christians very often where we have our time. In the morning, have our quiet time, we spend our 20 minutes, half an hour, reading, praying and everything else, and then we get on with our day. And I think what I've learned over the years, or what I try and practice, is that pray continually. We need to be in a constant conversation with the Lord as our day goes on, as we develop the day. In the conversation that we're sharing with somebody, Lord, have you got something that you want me to share? As we're driving somewhere on our own, it's an ideal time when we can plug in to the Lord and be seeking him for the meeting we're going to, or the event we're going to, or a family situation, or whatever it is he puts on our heart. It says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the hard one. That's very difficult sometimes, because it means we're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say most. It doesn't say the pleasant ones. It says all circumstances, because we need to know that we need to be thankful to him for all that he gives to us in the midst of struggles. Ruth reminded us last week of John 16:33, that says, in this world you will have trouble, but be encouraged, I have overcome the world. We will. God promises, or Jesus promises us, struggles and persecutions in this world. But we need to be encouraged, because he has overcome the world, and we can be connected and in conversation with him all the time. So I'm trying to remember what I put up and what I didn't say. I talked about that first part of Isaiah. When we come to fasting, the first part of that chapter, chapter 58, was God challenging his people to not just practice fasting, but to do it for a purpose, and to not continue with their wicked ways and all the things and being away from God, not just to show publicly what they were doing, sitting in sackcloth and ashes, as was the tradition at that time. But we need to be doing, as it says in this verse, Matthew 6, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. I think it's probably one of the lost disciplines in the church. I don't know. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how many of you practice fasting as part of your spiritual life. We as a ministry have a regular practice of with the team in Bolivia and our trustees of fasting on Tuesdays. And we still do. We don't always do it. We do it with a purpose. We share needs, of individual needs of our staff team, or of the ministry, or of children, or whatever. And we spend Tuesday fasting, breakfast and lunch, when we can get together to spend more time. The purpose of fasting is to draw near to God. It's to give us extra time. I often say to Aisha, it's amazing how much time we spend preparing and eating food. If we could free up all that time, we'd have lots of time for lots of other things, I think. But at least occasionally when we're fasting, to free up that particular time to just spend with the Lord, that extra hour or whatever it is, and to ask him what he is thinking, what his perspective is on things. And also, our experience has shown that in key times of crisis in the ministry, the Lord has challenged me personally on several occasions to do an extended fast. I'm not up to the 40-day level, not by any means, and don't plan thinking about that at my age either. But I've done a liquid-only fast for 3 days and for 5 days in the past, when we've been hitting a very, very serious crisis within the ministry, just to be able to spend that time seeking the Lord and looking to him. And there have been experiences that have been The experience of fasting and spending time with the Lord and seeking Him and hearing His voice has been very precious and very necessary in times of very negative events in the ministry. I have to say, there haven't been times when we've been in times of celebration. They've been in times when we've been in real deep struggles within the ministry. But the Lord has always given us solutions and guidance and words to get through whatever that challenge was. And here we see in, did I put the Acts one up? No, I didn't. There's one in Acts where it says, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So I think at times of change and times of new challenges, at times when it's good to spend time in prayer and fasting so that we can have an understanding of what the Lord would do. Nehemiah, if we look at Nehemiah, the first chapter of Nehemiah, before he went to the king, it says, I fasted for some days, I think it's prayer. It doesn't say how many. I don't know if some of you theologians have studied that sometime to work out how long that fast was, but for some days, it was obviously an extended time before he went before the king to present his request to go and see Jerusalem's walls rebuilt. But here in James 7, just to finish, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Yeah. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. I'm not saying we need to be sad and mourning and everything. What I'm saying is we need to draw near to God. And He will respond. He will give us what we need. We need to create that dependency on Him. And we need to recognize that the thief is there and he only comes. Is this one on still? I don't know. He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we need to press into God in prayer and fasting to see Him do His work. I'd like to take an opportunity to recommend a book. I sort of mentioned this to several people recently, but one of the, a book that I don't know if any of you have picked this up, but it's called Live No Lies by John Mark Comer. It talks about the three challenges that we have as Christians today, the three battles we have. One, with the devil. Secondly, with the flesh, our own humanity. And thirdly, with the world and the way the world thinks. I would recommend this highly to anybody who's interested in the challenges of today's world. It's very well written. It looks at the history as well, and also comes to and speaks very clearly of the state of our world today and how we should be responding as Christians. He's written several other books which you may have picked up, but I would highly recommend this one, especially in this context of spiritual warfare. As we're going through this series, I'm not sure how many more we have. But let's just remember, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came that we may have life and have it to the full. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning and just look to you as to how we can draw near to you, we ask that you speak to our hearts, that we can know what you're calling us to, how we can spend more time in your presence in prayer, and in fasting. And Lord, we offer our lives into your hands and into your service, that we can not only be praying and fasting, but that we can be your hands and feet and instruments of your restoration wherever you call us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Roger, for sharing so helpfully there and talking about not only the aspect of prayer and of fasting, but of action. Just putting ourselves in God's presence. We're going to have a bit of a time of response now. And the first part of that will just to be quiet. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to just speak to us. And if there's anything that Roger shared there or that you feel that he's saying to you, about how you personally or we collectively should respond, let's just take a few minutes of quiet just to do that.